WordSunday.com. The 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle C. Appearances over substance? Jared peered into the camera, then looked at himself in the color monitor. Missy, could you come over here? There's a shine on my forehead. Missy stepped into the glare of the studio lights with her makeup kit in hand. She set the kit down on the counter of the anchor desk, opened its flap, and took out the compact. She withdrew a sponge from the compact and dabbed powder above Jared's eyebrows. Thanks, Missy. You're welcome, Mr. Martin. Jared checked himself in the monitor again. He adjusted his tie, then snapped his dress jacket by the lapels. Hey, Eddie, roll the teleprompter a few lines. I want tonight's broadcast to feel natural. Without comment, the teleprompter began to roll Jared's lines. Good evening. I'm Jared Martin. Arrests in a terrorism plot lead off tonight's headlines. That's good, Eddie. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Have you heard that now-famous movie line? The rant came from the 1976 film Network. The plot of the movie revolved around a newscaster named Howard Beale, whose ratings were so low, he had a mental breakdown on the air. Instead of easing Howard out, the producer soon realized his ravings were pushing market share through the roof, and decided to design his show as a nightly entertainment event. While the movie was received as a satirical piece at its release, its theme has proven to be eerily prophetic. Entertainment divisions have subsumed news departments. Pundit broadcasts on cable news networks and talk radio are now analyzed and classified as entertainment. The gloss of appearance has overtaken the substance of objectivity. Even politicians have taken this insight to heart, for they now consult media experts on marketing their name and their image. The term branding now buzzes through the newsrooms and hallways of government. Doesn't that thought make you want to join Howard Beale in his outburst? The idea of appearance over substance really isn't new. In Luke's gospel, the followers of Jesus were wowed by Herod's greatest achievement, the temple in Jerusalem. Herod commissioned and financed its renovation. While the project proceeded long after his death, Herod envisioned the new temple as one of the great architectural landmarks in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. Herod spared no expense. The roof was covered in fine gold leaf. The building was constructed out of the finest marble made by highly trained craftsmen from the priestly class. The temple was meant to be a rallying point for Jews throughout the world. This was a place they believed the Lord lived. This was a place they could encounter God. Herod made sure the temple communicated that fact in all its glory. Wow, isn't this great? The followers seemed to say. The answer of Jesus, however, perked their ears. Soon, all this will be gone. No stone will be left standing. The only conceivable way the temple could be destroyed would be at the end time, the day of Yahweh, when all corruption, including the temple elites, would be swept away. When will this happen? The followers begged. Jesus didn't answer the question, but shifted the discussion to the matter of the tribulation. He addressed it on three levels: false leaders, national and cosmic catastrophes, and personal persecution. Notice that Jesus began with the general and moved to the individual. In other words, this would be a time of testing for everyone on every level. No one would be immune. Escape wasn't an option. Only those with faith could survive the test. In other words, the substance of character, not the appearance of holiness, would win out. In the tribulation, substance trumps appearances. The prophecy of Malachi echoed the words of Jesus. The day of the Lord would inflame the world. Its heat would cause the indifferent and the wicked to wilt away, but would warm the righteous and the faithful. The time of testing would force a choice. Are you with God or against God? We can't prepare for the time of decision. We can only choose and live the decision. That was the point that St. Paul made in his second letter to the Thessalonians. Live the faith and be a good example. Paul tried in every way to follow his own advice. In this way, he prepared for the test. We should do no less. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. we might be tempted to join Howard Beale and run against the world that has its priorities upside down. Yet there's a better way. Live the faith. Let example prove that appearances do not conquer substance. A true relationship with God is far more than a show on Sunday. How has your faith been tested? How have you striven to live out your faith? This presentation was written, narrated, and produced by Larry Broding. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.